All right, Bill. All right.
Yeah, you know, they say the only two good things that ever came out of Tennessee was 65 South and Alvin Kamara.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, we got another phone call. I don't know if Bill's immediately butt dialing us or what's going on, but yeah. Right. Here we go. 88.3 KBYS.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey,
what's up? How are you guys doing?
Well, good, yeah, good. I went and saw Thor. I did.
Oh, I did, too.
I went and saw it, and I smiled the whole time.
I loved it.
Right?
I loved it. Yeah, no, I
absolutely
smiled the whole time.
It.
It was joyful, very joyful.
Awesome, I'm so glad.
So, what about you, Kathy? What do we do this week?
I saw Thank You for Your Service, and I saw Murder on the Orient Express.
All right.
How was Murder?
Which one do we want to go with first? We want to go patriotic.
Let's do the bad news first.
Oh, bad news.
I believe in doing the bad news first.
All right. Then give me
so then. Hopefully, yeah. We're not starting with Murder.
No, we're not. this is the most painful negative review I think I've ever had to do. It's Thank You for Your Service. And, you know, I love the military. I love military movies. I'm one of those people that actually goes up to military people and says, thank you for your service. And this movie, I think, does a disservice to the military. I get it. You know, the PTSD is a real thing. It's disastrous. It's tragic. These guys have physical, emotional scars. You know, I know some of them. I had a cousin who was in terrible shape and lost it after World War II. So this isn't like a new thing. You know, and it's the government does not do a good job. They're understaffed. They, you know, these people are waiting for years for help that sometimes never comes. But the entire movie focuses on nothing but that. The women are strong, independent. They're, I think, good reflections of what a military wife is and should be. They're strong, they're supportive, they're patient. But every single guy that they present in the movie is from the same squadron, and they are they resort to withdrawal, domestic abuse, drug abuse, criminal behavior, suicide. Their superior officers are selfish, self-indulgent, clueless people. You know, none of them resort to, like, religious faith. None of them are, you know, they don't, there's no healing shown in this movie at all. It's much better handled than things like American Sniper. He, too, suffered from PTSD. The one about Bradley Cooper was in it. I can't think of his name. I'm blanking on his name. Is Chris Kyle?
Yes.
Best sniper in the world that America has, or maybe best sniper in the world. And he, too, suffered from that, but he found ways to help other people and, you know, in his faith, in his family. And that's a positive showing. I think, unfortunately, I would even go so far, and this kills me to say this, but to say that to present the military personnel this uniformly weak is to give aid and comfort to the enemy. I'm not saying they meant to do it, but I'm saying that it was a terrible way to show the military, because that's not the whole story. This is like the story of the wise men who go look at an elephant and all they find is the tail, so they think an elephant is a long, snaky thing. No, that's not it. You know, so I was very, very sad and disappointed. You know, go see Best Years of Our Lives. Go see American Sniper. Go see Soul Survivor. Go see, you know, any one of these other movies Saving Private Ryan, that deal with this in a much more constructive way.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Miles Teller to begin with.
Me neither.
He's okay whenever he's kind of playing that jerk role or that bad guy role, you know, because he does that in a couple of movies.
The acting was not bad. That I didn't really have too much of a quibble with, although there was too much crying.
So there's just not enough hope? Is that what we're looking at here? Not enough?
Yes.
Like, everybody was incompetent? I like to joke. Was it like the picket fences of Army movies, in a sense? You remember that show, Picket Fences? Also, Boston Public was another one of those where, like, everything that ever happened in high school happened at Boston Public. You know, like, they'd have a shooting. They'd have a sexual harassment teacher. They'd have a... whatever, this, that, and the other, like, 15 of the, like, you know, everything you hear in the news happened at Boston Public. Just, like, everything that happened in the news in, the early 90s happened in Picket Fences, like, the little town. I can't remember who the sheriff was like, but it was, I mean, was that what it was? It was kind of like the, everything that, you know, that related to...
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, now, these are all real people. and they showed pictures of the real people afterwards. So, you know, I believe they didn't make these guys up. But, and even if it's true that they all came out of one squadron, that's not the way to present this story and these people. I would, it would have been more believable if, say, it had taken place in a veterans hospital where you've got the people that are the wounded and the needing and the hurting and who have gone through terrible trauma, and they meet there and then they receive help from supportive community, from their families, which was shown. The family support was shown. From religious figures, from their military superiors who go in there and give them attaboys and encourage them and tell them they did a good job. But that's not what happened. You know, it's like these guys are, you know, they're used, abused, and like some, you know, racehorse in a bad track.
If it's based on a true story, though, I mean, how much can we quibble with it? You know, I mean,
I can quibble a lot because, like I said, even if this is completely, totally true, this is not the way to present it. Well, it would be one aspect of a bigger picture.
I guess, like you said, shows hope. I guess it comes, you know, with the idea of kind of like you said, what we deal with sports right now, you know, where we deal with NFL and we deal with the concussion situation. You know, it's you know, you can't really put a good shoe on the as much as we all love football, enjoy the entertainment, and believe that there's positive values that come out of football. Like I said, we've all seen the football movies about uniting people, about learning teamwork, about, you know, this and that and that and this. But at the same time, you know, you can't ignore
a movie like Concussion.
Concussion, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A movie like Concussion.
Yeah, I agree with you except for two things. One, it's not an honorable representation, especially on Veterans Day. And secondly, we're not in a war with the football league. I mean, you know, but we are still in an active hot war with some of the people they're portraying fighting against. And like I said, it gives aid and comfort to the enemy to portray our military as uniformly weak and ineffective.
So I guess I'll have to see it. I guess I'm always curious about these sorts of things.
Yeah, like,
is it maybe showing just the horrors of war in general? And if we can show the horrors of war in general to our enemies as well as to ourselves, maybe it makes everybody think twice about...
No, it won't, because our enemy has a certain perspective. The best way the military is presented as in conquering adversity, not being crushed by it.
All right. I don't want to get too political. So
yeah, go see it. I'm not saying saying make sure you understand what you're going and walking in to see. Because to a certain degree, again, it's one of those things where it's painful to watch, but you know, you should see it like in Soul Survivor or Saving Private Ryan, where these guys do go through this stuff. So you owe it to them to understand, at least from a third party, you know, an outsider's point of view, what they're going through. I just don't like the way they presented it. I think they could have done it in a much more positive way or hopeful. I think you hit your nail. You put your finger on it.
Like I said,
hopeless.
I wonder, you know, so when you have it based on a true story, like I said, if you got five people as much hope as you have and they all die, you know, like I said, like in Concussion, like I said, I mean, you can have hope, but... Then you said the more we hear about the CTE,
but the fact is that CTE,
and there's no treatment for it. You know, there's no way to detect it really before death. Right. It's like I can have a bunch of hope, but I don't know how to put a hopeful spin on something that has
that's bleak.
Yeah, that's bleak.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the other movie. So let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to Orient.
I'm surprised this was the good one. I was kind of expecting this one to be the...
How? This is such a power.
Kenneth
Branagh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, look, I mean, I see it's a power cast. I just, honestly, I haven't heard anything.
You were worried about Johnny Depp in this one. I was more worried about Kenneth Branagh directing a movie in which he was the lead. You know,
he was in it, but he did that with Hamlet, and he did it with Love's Labor's Lost. He wasn't the lead in that one, but he's done it, you know, before, and he's very good at it. I would venture to say that, to give a little background, Murder on the Orient Express is a murder mystery. It's probably Agatha Christie's most famous one. She's the famous murder mystery writer. And it's about a bunch of people, strangers on a train, that becomes trapped by a snowfall, an avalanche, and a murder is committed. So obviously, it's maybe some, I'm not going to say is, but maybe somebody on the train. I will tell you this, do not see anything, if you're not familiar with the story, don't read the book. Do not see the 1974 version, which was very, very good, by the way, with Sean Connery. Do not see trailers or interviews. just go see it flat out, because I will go out on a limb and say it is one of those rarest of birds. Not only is it a great movie, but it is a perfect, for its genre, it's a perfect movie.
Wow.
It's the kind of movie you'd hold up and say, this is the way you do this.
Wow. All right.
It is a terrific, terrific movie. If you have seen it, go see it. I mean, if you know the story, if you read the book, if you've seen the previous movie, you will still be delighted with the beautiful staging that Branagh does, the artistry of his camera work. He shows people through mirrors and through windows in ways that are very telling about the story without telling you. It sets moods. The angle of the shots where he shows things without showing, like from overhead. It's beautiful. It is absolutely just gorgeous the way he presents. It's almost like a fairy tale, the way he presents this highly social, expensive, like super upper class, back in the day when upper class was super, super upper class, countesses and princesses would ride this train. And it's just a throwback to an older world. And Poirot, who is often best felt the lead detective guy, so he's done Christie wrote a bunch of books about him, like we do Jack right. Reacher today, only yeah. he's a little Belgian French detective. He's often shown as kind of strident and unapproachable. Branagh presents him in a far more approachable, more interesting way, and gives a surprising character arc, which I'm not going to say anything about, a surprising character arc to the Poirot character, which I didn't expect, which I thought was beautifully done and fits perfectly into the story.
So my question for you, because I've heard that Daisy Ridley does a great job of escaping her tight cast.
Yes.
Because that's a big thing about becoming a Star Wars main character, is once you become a Star Wars main character, you are stuck there.
I didn't even think about it being her until my son mentioned, oh my gosh, she's in it, because he went to go see it after me. And he said, I cannot believe she can actually act.
There you go.
But no, she's very good.
You know,
they're all good. Every single one of these guys is excellent. Yet Derek Jacobi, who's been in a bunch of other Kenneth Branagh movies. And Kenneth Branagh, if anybody, you know, in the audience doesn't know, he's the one that does a lot of Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not exclusive to Shakespeare, you know. He does fun movies, too, like Midwinter's Tale. And he was in one of the, I'm blanking, the one with Chris Pine, the series, the one with... not Jack Reacher, not Mission Impossible, the Jack Clancy.
Jack Ryan, the Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan,
movie.
Clancy movies, yeah. Right. He was the bad guy in one of those. So he does lots of stuff. He's you know, very versatile. He writes, he directs, he acts, and a super classy guy, and he's extremely good with ensembles, which is what this is. You know, he doesn't take the center stage all the time. He's very good at giving a focus to all of the characters in an ensemble. You know, he did it before with Hamlet, which was a huge cast, even though he was the lead. He did it in A Midwinter's Tale, which was an ensemble comedy. He did it with Love's Labour's Lost, which was a musical version of the Shakespeare play. So he's super good at that, is stepping back and letting somebody else take the forefront, take the limelight.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, look, you might have sold me. I might, if I don't see a movie before next Friday... maybe I'll go see Murder on the Orient Express.
Please go see it. It's really good.
But you know what happens next Friday. And that's kind of what I'm waiting for here, I guess. Now, after Thor was so good, I mean, Justice League has to step up.
It has to be. Which, it's daily dollar short if they haven't. But
I mean, look, yeah. I mean, here we go. All the early reviews I've read have said that it's pretty good, like that people just wanted more, you know. So.
Oh, good.
So I'm excited, but I'm curious, because it's, again, one of those things supposedly Warner Brothers mandated the time of the movie, you know, and I'm one of those people who will go back and say, I thought Batman versus Superman, the ultimate cut with the extra 30 minutes of footage was a much better movie than without the 30 minutes.
Really? Because I haven't seen that, because everybody said it was so terrible. Like, oh, I love Superman.
I'll tell you what, I can't imagine.
The director's cut.
Yeah, because I only saw the director's cut. I didn't see the original cut, but I have no idea, like, reading what the differences were, how it made any sense. Like, I don't understand why studios get involved in these things. I understand that superheroes, especially Warner Brothers and DC, trying to cut their teeth on superhero movies that aren't Batman, you know, probably making all sorts of legislative decisions they shouldn't, Should have kept that time in. I didn't feel like the movie was any longer. I sat there and watched the whole thing and didn't, like, notice it was super long. So, I don't know. I don't know. So, I'm excited for this Justice League movie. My only worry is, did they cut out too much again because they had to? But, you know.
That'd be interesting to see. I mean, I think I'll watch the director's cut and then look for the other cuts to see what's wrong.
Right on. Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, it's definitely worth watching, though. I thought the director's cut. And supposedly, according to my brother, the Suicide Squad movie director's cut is even kind of worth watching, where I thought Suicide Squad was atrocious.
I don't remember. Yeah, I think that was more villain choice.
Yeah, no, that was just an awful, like, that movie, like I said, the one good scene I thought was when Will Smith gets the gun. He's like, this is loaded? What? That's the only good scene of the movie.
Lunatic would give him a gun. That
right,
make any sense,
right.
But it was a fun scene.
That's why I enjoyed it. It's like, wait, you gave me a loaded gun? What, are you crazy? So, So Justice League is the movie next week. Are we only going to one, or are we going to do two again next week? Because I'll tell you what, there's a new Denzel movie opening next week, and I am a Denzel fan.
Israel Esquire.
Yep.
That looks interesting. I'm not sure. I'm going to, if I have time, but with Thanksgiving coming up in the not-too-distant future, you know, it's going to depend. I will try, though.
Oh, Kathy, to you it's Thanksgiving. To me it's Thursday, so.
We should come to my house. I'll put you to work.
I love it.
Oh, don't forget, 39 Steps is still playing this weekend and next weekend.
That's right.
Blue Theater.
That's right, 39 Steps. The comedy mystery play, the Alfred Hitchcock adaptation with four characters playing 45,000 characters.
I think it's supposed to be 140 characters.
There
I've never
go.
Sat down and counted, but it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Dozens and dozens.
A lot of characters. Like I said, great, fantastic, fun show. That's right. Don't forget.
Did you see it? Have you seen it yet?
No, I'm planning on going next Friday. That's my plan.
Oh, good.
Next Friday is the date on the calendar right now. So, yeah. So, yeah, no, like I said, yeah, go on, catch that. Like I said, I think the show's at 2 o'clock today?
It's 2 o'clock today.
Yeah,
2 o'clock.
And
then 7, I want to say 7:30.
Yeah, on Friday,
the night.
Saturday.
But double check. Don't be a half an hour late because I told you the wrong thing. Don't be bad.
You can always check them out. Like I said, if you're on Facebook, you just type in Lake Charles Little Theater right there. Go and actually, you know, join their page or like their page, because I'll tell you what, you get all sorts of great theater notices. If you ever want to do a show in town, they'll let you know about auditions and things. Speaking of auditions, Corey, there's audition today, I believe, at 1 o'clock, maybe? I'll have to double check that. Over there at the Tritico Theater for The Secret Garden over at McNeese. So if you can sing, and you like to sing, and you've never done a show before, today at McNeese Theater.
Secret Garden the musical?
Well, I highly recommend you doing theater. I mean, if you've never done it before, go ahead and do it for the experience. Bring your friends. And it's a lot easier and a lot more fun than you might think. I mean, you might think you're scared. I didn't think I could do it. But my husband talked me into being on stage, and it was one of the most fun things I ever did, especially since we had our kids involved in it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize there was singing in the Secret Garden.
The stage version, not like the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, the musical version.
There's
a
musical version of almost everything.
I've never seen a musical
version. From Shrek to...
Yeah, there's the musical Shrek, you know. I mean, there's a musical version of almost everything.
I just don't see that
as
translating to a musical.
Spider-Man, that didn't come out too good, but, you know.
yeah, that's right. There was even the musical Spider-Man that Bono wrote or whatever it was.
It died pretty fast.
Until the actors started falling through the stage.
Hey, look, just because she was hard to do Spider-Man, you know, but... But yeah, no, Secret Garden, the musical auditions. Like I said, and you're right. Like I said, if you've never done a theater show before, if you're looking to meet people, like I said, if you're new in town or maybe you just don't get out much and you're not people will be honest with you, like I said, if you don't get connected into something, it's not the easiest thing to find things to do. So like I said, this is the fun, like I said, you'll meet 20 to 30 people that, you know, you'll like all of them, like I said.
Right.
I just don't see that book translating to a musical.
And then go.
There you go.
Lake Charles Little Theater is, and I'll tell you, Lake Charles Little Theater, we've done a lot with them. They are super considerate of your time, the fact you have a family, another life outside the theater business. And McNeese Theater it has become very, very community friendly as far as that goes. It used to be just for theater, you know, music or theater majors. And it was very difficult to accommodate to their schedule. But now they're way more friendly, community friendly, as far as rehearsal schedules. And so, you know, definitely encourage you to do that. Bring your kids for the right play. Don't just throw them in anything. You know, don't bring your kids to the Rocky Horror Picture
Show. Secret Garden, I think, is a play that has a bunch of children's roles as well. So, like I said,
absolutely.
If you have,
anybody could be in that.
Exactly.
One.
If you've got kids, like I said, and they don't have to sing amazingly incredible, they'll help them sing. You know, like I said, it's all about. you know, getting out there and just trying. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
That's right. It's stretch your wings, push those envelopes. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And especially parents with children can go and do it with them. And we found it was one of our most fun things that we ever did as a family was the theater pieces we did.
I miss it. I'm asking myself if I'm going to go today or not. I kind of need a break, you know. I kind of need a break, and the holidays are always crazy. But
do it anyway.
But yeah, exactly.
You can start rehearsals. I don't think until Friday. February. I think is it performances on February?
I think performances in February. Yeah. So I'm not sure when
so
they
you've
officially.
Got time. There's going to be a lot of rehearsal between now and then. But you know, think of it as like a team spirit kind of thing. You know, you can support your college, you can support your community theater, and you know, it's a wonderful experience.
So Kathy, you're going to come audition? Is that what you're doing?
I would if I could, but don't forget, my mother-in-law is still ill.
She's coming
back and forth. She's getting better. Thank you for all your prayers.
Good.
We have talked about as a family a bunch of times. My fingerprints are all over my husband's back to get back on stage. My son is you know, trying to finish up a mechanical engineering degree, so he wants to get back on too. But I promise you, God willing, we will be auditioning for something within the next couple of years.
Right.
I wish it was maybe.
We'll hold you to it. Like I said, I mean, Cedar Garden's a very, you know, nice, kid-friendly, family-friendly play and some musical. And like I said, all ages, like, kind of thing. Like I said, from children to, you know, I don't know, more mature adults, I guess would maybe be the best way to put it. You know, so, so it's, you know, like I said, it's a wide age range. Like I said, great time. I'm looking it up right now. I keep talking about it. I have to find a one.
From kids to old people, yes. They can.
I didn't want to say old people.
I'm too busy.
Why can't say old people?
Right,
I'm an old people.
At
58.
See, I didn't want to say, like, you know, golden years. I didn't know what else, you know.
Was it Rush called them the seasoned citizens?
There we go.
That's right.
There we go.
I still can't get cheaper tickets at the movie theater, though. I'm not old enough for that yet.
Do you see all those AARP commercials and go, I don't know ARP, you know?
I just like gag on those. Like, yeah.
So yeah, today at 1:00, I got it right. Yes, today at 1:00 over there, in the McNeese Tradeco Theater. Go over there, audition. Like I said, all age ranges. If you've ever wanted to do a show, Secret Garden the musical is going to be a lot of fun. And we'll talk to you, I guess, next week, Kathy, when we all see Justice League and we unite. So, I mean, that's the thing that's coming up next week. I'm excited for that. So, so here we go, Justice League. Here we go.
Getting ready for some Darkseid.
Yeah. And then.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you very much. Y'all are wonderful. And it's always fun to talk movies with you guys.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a great Sunday.
God bless.
All right. All right, so here we are, and it's now, like I said, we got like 10 minutes. Let me see. Let's see if Ryan said if he's heard from anything. All right. Yep. Nope. He's supposedly, yep, he's got trades.